Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread 2014. Now, we're making our way through a number of years, in fact, 10 years, when the Passover does not fall in the middle of the week, does not fall on a Wednesday. After 2000, I think it is 2000, let's see, 10 years. Yeah, right? During 2000, getting into 20, then we have 5 years out of 10 where the Passover falls in the middle of the week. Now, these things happen because of the variation with the calculations to keep everything in order and in sequence and on time as God has set the calendar through the calculated Hebrew calendar. When Jesus began to preach the gospel in Galilee, He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and the time has been fulfilled. Repent and believe the gospel." Now, the gospel is the whole message of God. That includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. And within that, you have the kingdom of God, then you have the kingdom of God, then you have the gospel of grace, and now there is the gospel of peace. All of these are aspects of the overall gospel of Jesus Christ. So today we are going to cover the gospel of peace and perfection and how that relates to the Feast of Unleavened Bread in our lives. Now, first of all, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace and the King of Peace. However, human beings are at odds with God. And so we start out, because we have carnal minds, we start out against God. That's why here in Romans 8, it tells us about the carnal mind. It says, verse 5, Romans 8, "For those who walk according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit mind the things according to the Spirit." That's what our whole focus of our lives need to be on. The spiritual things of God, the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to give us the love and understanding of God and His Word, and to look forward to the kingdom of God and bringing peace to this earth, which we can see really greatly needs that peace. It's just absolutely amazing the things that have been happening. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, and the wages of sin is death." Yes, it is true. As an Adam, we all die. But then when we have the Spirit of Christ, then we are to develop the character of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and all of those things in our lives. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we're going to talk about the peace of God. But here's where we begin. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." Now that's an amazing thing. And we see that more and more in the world today. Now Jesus is called the King of Peace. Let's come back here to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And Jesus Christ is our high priest right now. And He is the one who leads us in truth. He is the one who leads us in righteousness. And so while we live in the world, as Jesus said, we are not of the world. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we need to concentrate not only on getting sin out of our lives, that's one aspect of it, but we need to concentrate on our relationship with God so that we have more yieldedness to God, more love to God, more peace with God. Now, we're going to see that in the world, there are going to be difficulties for us. But anyone who has peace of mind, in spite of all the difficulties going on, that has to come from God. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, wherever you read the Most High God in the Old Testament, that is an inkling of God the Father. And Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Father was never revealed in the Old Testament. Whom Abraham met as he was returning from his slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, on the one hand, being interpreted king of righteousness. And on the other hand, king of Salem, which is king of peace. And he's also called the king in our lives, everything, and for the peace of God. All right? Now, this was prophesied to be back in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. So let's go back there and see. And it's always been an enigma to the Jews to try and understand this verse. How can God, as we're going here to Isaiah the 9th chapter, how can God become a man, born of the Virgin Mary, and still be God? How is that possible? Well, all things are possible with God according to his plan. Now, one thing is not possible with God. He cannot lie, and he will not compromise against evil. All right, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And you look and see, in this world today, do we not need the government of God on this earth? Yes, indeed. And the good news is, it is coming. And the good news is that we are being trained for that right now. And the good news is that we are going to have peace with God now and help him bring peace to this world. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. So here it is, a human being born called the Mighty God, the everlasting Father. And of course, Jesus will not be an everlasting Father until those who come through the millennium be with Christ and the bride and all of the saints ruling. Then he will be an everlasting Father. Today, we are the children of God the Father. During the millennium, they will become the children of Jesus Christ and the perfected church. The Prince of Peace. Now, how do we have peace with God? All right, we'll examine some of that, okay? We have peace with God because we love him and keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We'll see that a little bit later. That's how we have the love of God. All right, now since we're here in Isaiah, let's come to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And the whole thing that is important for us to understand and realize is this, is that we need the love and spirit of God in our lives ever more, especially in what we are doing right now. Okay? Now, Isaiah 53 talks about, and it is a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And of course, we have observed the Passover and night to be much observed and the first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now then, here's an aspect of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we need to understand. No one can be at peace with God without the sacrifice of Christ and his shed blood and forgiveness. And now remember, God has given us his Holy Spirit. And he has given it so we can develop the mind of Christ, the character of God, and to be at peace with him. However, this had to happen to Christ. Verse 1, For who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And it's revealed to us. The strength of God revealed to us. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root in a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, why did Jesus do all of this and go through it? So that he can save mankind. Surely he has borne our infirmities and has carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him as smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, what does that mean? Well, we just read that the carnal mind is enmity against God. We were enemies with God, cut off from God. And in order to make peace with God, Christ had to die. And that's part of being the Prince of Peace and the King of Peace. Okay? Now, that's important for us to know, to realize, and to understand that we need peace with God and peace with each other. Now, we'll talk about all these things as we go through this sermon. Now, let's come to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and let's examine again the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because these things are the important aspects of what we need to concentrate on during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which then we carry over into our daily living. And it is true, we do have to fight against human nature, and we do that, and we will see how that is done as we understand what it means to be perfected. But here, the fruit of the Spirit, notice this, verse 22, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, peace with God, and peace with one another. Now we will see that peace has to come from God. It's not the kind of peace that we would get in the world. It's not the kind of peace that would come because of the things that we do or the things that we of our own selves and human nature can do. See, because we have to realize that this peace can only come from God. It can only come from Christ. It can only come from the righteousness of God. Now, let's see what Paul writes concerning this peace and how it comes through Jesus Christ. Let's come to Ephesians 2, just a page over, and verse 13. Now, let's go back to verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Now that you were without Christ at that time, and we were all without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And look at what it is in the world without God. All the things that are going on, just as Jesus said, would happen. But now, in Christ, only through him, you who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. And that ties right in with Isaiah 53. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, peace with God, peace toward God, peace with the brethren within the church. And you can see all the problems and difficulties that have happened within the church because too much carnality came about. Too much carnality was allowed, fighting and warring and all of the things of the flesh. And so God has had to separate the churches. And the separation is still going on. until we all come to the point that we love God and have peace with God and peace with one another. Now let's continue on right here. That he might reconcile both to God, Jews and Gentiles, in one body through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. Now there are two things of enmity. The enmity against God and the enmity toward Jews and Gentiles, or toward people in general. Now notice, verse 17. Now when he came, he preached the gospel, peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. Now notice how this peace is established, and that is through the Spirit of God. Now notice, for through him, that is Christ, we both have direct access by one Spirit to the Father. And that's how peace is made. Now let's also understand, and because of this, we have great hope. Now let's read on and see how God is working this out, and that it's through his Spirit and through his righteousness, and that we can change and grow and overcome and become peaceful with God, peaceful with each other, and as we will see, be perfected in Christ. That's the whole purpose of it. Now notice, so then you are no longer aliens and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of God and are being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the building, all the building, God is building and working in you, as we have seen. He is building, working, developing. And that's why we need to be at peace with God and peace with each other. In the world, we're going to see, we're going to have a little difficulty. Being built up, okay, in whom the building being conjointly fitted together is increasing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now that's a tremendous thing, brethren. Now notice how this is really an important factor in what we're doing. Let's come back here to the Gospel of John. Let's come back to John 14, and let's see what Jesus told the disciples. John 14. Now the peace we have with God does not necessarily mean that we have peace with everybody in the world. We are to have peace with God and have peace with each other. Here, John 14, let's pick it up here in verse 25. Let's see how the Holy Spirit is connected with this. Because there can never be any peace with God if we are living in sin. It just won't happen. Now let's pick it up here in verse 25. Verse 25. I have spoken these things to you while I am present with you. But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things. Because we're led by the Holy Spirit. We read and study the Bible. It is a spiritual process for us. Because we learn. We are convicted. We change. We're inspired. We're able through the Word of God to grow and overcome. Okay? And shall bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So this peace is a spiritual peace that comes from God. It is not a truce. It is a complete change. And God the Father gives us that peace. It comes from Christ. My peace. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it fear. And that's how we need to lead our lives. Now, we're going to talk a lot about the things that are taking place in the world as we're going along. And the world is not going to improve very much. In fact, it's going to get worse. So we need to have the peace of mind from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's come over here to chapter 16 and verse 32. Just turn the page. Jesus said, "Listen, the time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered each to his own, and you shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Remember the song that you heard some time ago? Alone, yet not alone. Even though we are alone, if we have God the Father in Christ in us, we are not alone. And God is with us and working with us and helping us and changing us. Okay? Verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." Now, it's a very interesting statement there. May have. And that means there are things that God does for us and there are things that we need to do so that that peace may be perfected. "That you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be courageous, I have overcome the world." So you see, that shows us, in order to change and grow and overcome, it has to be through Christ. And when we do, we will have peace of mind. We can understand the things that are happening, that are going on. We can realize all the grief and anguish that's going to be in the world and the things there. But regardless of the outside circumstances, if we have peace with God and Jesus Christ and peace of mind, now that means our part in having that peace of mind is through the power of the Holy Spirit to grow and change and overcome and not get emotionally involved in the things in the world. And to realize, even though there are difficulties and problems that we are going to face and the circumstances that we are going to come across in our lives are going to be difficult indeed. Jesus said, "You will have tribulation, but with the peace of mind of God, we can face all of it. We can handle all of it." So the key thing we need to do is not let our emotions get carried away when there are difficulties. Now, that's hard to do, but that's all part of the peace of God. But nevertheless, we can do that. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and let's see something very important as to how Paul said we can do this. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Now, before we go to chapter 3, let's come back over here to chapter 2 for just a minute, and let's see how Paul brings this out for us in such a clear way. Verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2. "Now we are duty-bound to give thanks to God always concerning you, brethren, who are beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning has called you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Sanctification means set aside, made holy by the Spirit of God, unto which you were called by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold fast the ordinances that you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now notice what he says here in the next two verses, because this is important. This is the fruit of the peace of God. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal encouragement and good hope through grace, encourage your hearts," that is within, not to have anguish within and put on a facade of that everything is okay. But to have peace within and then be able to overcome the things that are without. Encourage your hearts and establish you in every good word and work to accomplish the will of God. Now, chapter 3 and verse 16. Verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. So that's something that we need to really pray about then. Whatever it is in your life, don't worry, don't fret, don't stew. Have the peace of God. And with that, and with the Spirit of God, ask God to help you have the control of mind and emotion so that you are at peace with God and, as we'll see, at peace with everyone that you can be as far as you are concerned. Okay, now let's come to the Epistle of Romans, Romans 15, and let's see what Paul writes for us to encourage us, to help us, to point us toward that peace with God. Peace with God, it comes from God. That's why if you are overcoming sin or you're being tempted and you're torn, what you need to do is really pray and ask God to give you peace of mind and obey and serve God. That's what's important. Now, let's come over here to verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. For all things that were written before were written for our instruction, so that we, through patient endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, may have hope. And also we will see peace. Verse 5. Now may the God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord and one mouth you may glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here, therefore receive one another according as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. Now, let's come down here to verse 10. Again it says, rejoice, all you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and praise all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that arises shall rule the Gentiles. In him shall all the Gentiles hope. Now then, notice verse 13. Notice all these words of encouragement that we need so that we can have a proper relationship with God in peace. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you now with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. So the more you believe in Christ, the more hope you have, the more peace you have, the more your life dedicated to God is going to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May abound in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants us to have, to be led of the Holy Spirit. Now, back here in Romans 12th chapter, he also gives us an admonition showing that we have to put forth the effort. Okay? Romans, the 12th chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse Romans 12 and verse 18. If possible, now there are going to be times when it's not possible. As much as is your part, be at peace with all men. Now that's counterbalanced by what Jesus said, that in him we will have peace, but in the world we'll have tribulation. So we have to balance that out, and especially with those of us together in the church. All of us have gone through so much turmoil and difficulty and have not had peace the way that we need it. So now is the time that we can begin concentrating on that, can begin having the peace that we need among each other, and that comes from the love of God, And when all of these things are put together, then we find out that we can be led in perfection. Now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. And let's look and see how Paul, in nearly every one of his epistles that he writes, brings out this kind of introduction. And this is really very meaningful to us. Because, you see, we need to understand, which we do, that all of these things come from God with his Spirit. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that is a projection clear out in time, whoever the faithful are. Now, verse 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Every epistle starts out grace and peace. And we need the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to rule in our lives. Now notice how we have this peace and continue to maintain it right here is by keeping our minds and our hearts on the goal and on our calling and what God has done for us. And this is what we need to do, brethren. Let's understand the great significance of our calling. And let's understand why God has brought us through all of these things, because he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants us to be at peace with him. Now notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Now, to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, those are heavenly things. To grow and develop in those things, those are heavenly things. Not carnal things, not physical things, but coming from God. Now notice verse 4. Always remember this in case you get discouraged. According as he has personally chosen us, the called, chosen, and faithful. Now think about that. And he's done it not because of who we are, but he has done it because he loves us and because we answered the call. Many are called, few are chosen, because few answer the call, and we have answered the call. He has personally chosen us, and when we answer the call, that's what he does. Now notice, for himself, before the foundation of the world, that is, he had this plan before the foundation of the world, that he would choose those who would respond to his calling, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. That can only come through the peace of God. Having predestinated us for sonship to himself. Notice, himself, God himself, through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Now that is fantastic for us to know and understand, brethren. And having peace becomes a mindset. And that mindset comes from Christ. That mindset comes from the Father. Come over here to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And let's read in verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice always in the Lord. Even in times of difficulty and trouble, because those times in difficulty and trouble can be overcome. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. And isn't that what Jesus said back in Matthew, the sixth chapter? Don't be anxious. Don't have turmoil in your minds about anything. But by prayer, you take it to God. You pray about it. You ask for guidance. You ask for deliverance. You ask for understanding. And you keep at it until the answer comes. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God in everything. Now, notice what happens when we do that. Just like we have covered, and just like you know, when you study the Word of God, God is talking to you. When you are praying to God, you are talking to Him. And since you have His Spirit within you, He is there. He hears. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, communicating to God the deepest, innermost part of our being so that we can have peace. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, all human understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Think about that. That gives us strength, that gives us character, and that helps to guard our hearts and our minds against all the strife and difficulty in the world. Yes, it's horrible to see the things going on in the world. Yes, there are going to be a lot of people affected and die and suffer. But with the peace of God within us, then we can endure to the end, as Jesus has said. Then we can truly overcome and accomplish what God wants us to do. So remember, this is the gospel of peace. And it is to those who have the Spirit of God. So I hope this really helps you during this Feast of Unleavened Bread in understanding what we need to do and how we need to overcome. So let's take a break and we'll come back and look at how God is perfecting us.